I'd like to invite you to come with me to a third grade classroom. There's a 9-year-old boy named David sitting at his desk, and all of a sudden, there's a puddle between his feet and the front of his pants are wet. He thinks his heart is going to stop because he cannot possibly imagine how this could happen. It's never happened before, and he knows that when boys find out, he will never hear the end of it. And when the girls find out, well, they'll never speak to him again as long as he lives. David believes his heart is going to stop. He puts his head down and prays this prayer. Dear God, this is an emergency. I need help now. 5 minutes from now, I'm dead meat. He looks up from his prayer, and here comes the teacher with a look in her eyes that says she knows what's happened. And as she's walking toward him, a classmate named Susie is carrying a goldfish bowl filled with water. Just as she gets to David's desk, she trips and dumps the bowl of water in David's lap. David pretends to be angry, but all the while is saying to himself, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord." Finally, at the end of the day, as they're waiting for the bus, David walks over to Susie and whispers, "You did that on purpose, didn't you?" Susie whispers back, "I wet my pants once too." This is a cute story that makes us smile, but I assure you it has some relevance to the message of the day. For those who grew up attending Sunday school, the subject matter of the Old Testament lessons gave us a glimpse of some of God's major players in the history of the Israelite people. There was Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah in the big fish, Noah in the ark, Joseph in his coat of many colors, and David and Goliath. But one of the characters whose story stretched over a 120-year period was Moses. When we think about Moses, we are apt to remember the production of the Ten Commandments, picture of Charlton Heston on Mount Sinai receiving the tablets containing God's laws for the Hebrews. But as we remember, Moses' life was not always so dramatic. There was much more to his story. He was born into slavery, saved from the crocodile-infested Nile by Pharaoh's daughter, then raised in the luxury of the palace. As an adult, he killed an Egyptian who was abusing a fellow Hebrew. Word spread, so to avoid possible punishment, he made a run for it. He ended up in the Sinai desert where he married Zipporah, a Midianite, and worked for her father Jethro as a sheep herder. He probably felt he had missed his chance to save his fellow Hebrews, but God had other ideas. After 40 years not hearing from God, Moses probably told his sheep goodnight, went home to bed, woke up to just another day in the pasture, washed his face, ate his breakfast, took his lunch sack and staff, and headed off to count the sheep. There was no shooting star or neon sign that said, "God will speak to you today." It was just another day getting the sheep out of the crags and leading them to greener pastures. Then suddenly, a wavering light catches Moses' eye. Turning around, he sees a bush on fire. But wait, it's still green. It isn't being consumed. He watches, and it just keeps burning, but the bush stays intact. Amazed, he probably goes, "Huh?" and decides to walk over and take a look. After all, it wasn't the kind of thing one sees every day. But there is nothing in this story to make us think Moses saw this as a God event. He was just curious, that's all. Big mistake. For when God saw he had Moses' attention, he called him from the bush. "Moses, Moses!" Think about what Moses must have thought. He's staring at a burning bush that isn't being consumed. He hears his name but sees no one. Could he be imagining all this? Actually, if he had really thought about it, he might have put as much distance as possible between himself and that bush. But in the fascination of the moment, he answers, "Here I am." Maybe another big mistake. Now God explains why he's called to Moses. In 40 years, Moses has been living in the Sinai desert. Things have grown worse for the Israelites in Egypt. Living in oppressive slavery, they were crying out to God to remember the covenant he had made with their ancestors 400 years ago. So God decided it was time to rescue them. And Moses is to be his agent. He's to be the one to lead them out of Egypt and into the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses must have thought, "What did that voice say? He wants me to do what? Lead the Hebrews out of Egypt into a new land? Yes, it might be time, but he's calling me to be the leader? Whoa, stop right there. God needs to understand in order for this plan to work, he needs the right leader, and I need to explain why that isn't me." So the excuses start. First of all, who am I? I'm a nobody. I no longer have any connections with Pharaoh's court. Remember, I tried this 40 years ago and failed, so why should it be any different now? But God had the answer. You may be a nobody, but I will be with you. What you lack, I will supply. Not being reassured, Moses counters with the next excuse. "Listen, God, when I say the God of your father sent me, they will ask, what is his name? I'll certainly look stupid if I can't answer." Now let's remember, God didn't ask Moses to be a theologian, so he told Moses to just say, "I am has sent me to you. I am he who was and is and shall be for all generations." So now comes the what if excuse. Pressure's on. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? After all, who would believe a murderer who said he talked to a bush that was burning but not consumed? Really? In God's patience, he gives Moses three proofs. He turns his staff into a serpent and back again. His hand becomes leprous and clean again. And he has the ability to turn water into blood. Despite all God's answers, Moses still isn't ready to accept his assignment. Now comes the cry of desperation. "Oh Lord, I have a physical limitation. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I talk funny. Don't you want someone to speak clearly so your message will sound authentic?" Again, God is quick with an answer. He asks, "Who has made man's mouth? Now go, and I will help you speak, will teach you what to say. Don't worry about answering to Pharaoh. My words will do that." When all else has failed, the final plea comes as an attempt to weasel out of God's call. "Please, God, send someone else to do this. After all, there are 2.5 million other Israelites, so surely there's someone better suited for this task." No matter what signs God provides and whether he promises to be with him, Moses is adamant he doesn't want to do this, and he says, "Please, send someone else." While God had patience with four excuses, number five was going too far, and we read God's anger burned against Moses. But because Moses was the man God chose for the job, he accommodated his lack of faith by choosing to allow his brother Aaron to assist him. God promises to speak and to teach them what to do. But he tells Moses, "Get going, I'm sending you." One has to admit, Moses did not sound like a likely candidate to receive this call from God. As far as people's skills, he didn't seem to have the right stuff. But isn't it rather amazing that God sometimes chooses, calls, and uses the most unlikely people to do his work in the world? He often doesn't require the same qualifications for a job that we might. Now, is this just a nice story about one of the Old Testament characters, or can we find some relevance to our lives? Let's try. We know there are many days when we just go through the motions and we encounter but don't really see all kinds of burning bushes. Often we decide we just don't have time to check them out. Sometimes it's a person who is in some kind of distress. Sometimes it's a situation of injustice. Maybe it's nothing huge. Maybe it's just something that needs someone to address. Maybe a phone call, an email, just a casual comment. But we just keep going our way because we know it will require something of us, and our plate is already full tending sheep in the wilderness of our lives. We try to do our jobs, keeping our heads down, staying out of trouble, wanting to do the right thing, but avoiding anything that will draw us away from our normal routine. One thing this story points out to us is that God comes to us when we least expect it. We turn the corner and there it is, a burning bush. The reason we may miss God's call is because we never take time out of our busy schedules to turn and look at the bush God has set ablaze for us. God must at times think, what on earth will it take? What will finally convince them to stop in their tracks, turn aside to consider what just happened? I would like to share a true story with you. Jim is the young man who told the story. One day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. He looked like he was carrying all his books. And I thought to myself, why would anyone bring all his books home on Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, which included parties, a football game with my friends on Saturday. So I shrugged my shoulders and went on walking. Then I saw a bunch of kids running toward Kyle. They ran at him, knocking all his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him. So I jogged over, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They really should get lives." He looked at me and said, "Thanks." There was a big smile on his face that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and ask him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I'd never seen him before. And he said he had gone to private school before now. Even though I would have never hung out with a private school kid, we talked all the way home and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends, and he said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with his huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Darn boy, you're really going to build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. And Kyle was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. And he had to prepare a speech for graduation, and I was just glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle and he looked nervous, so I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those really grateful looks, smiled, and said, "Thanks." As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mainly your friends. I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. He went on to tell that the first day we met, he had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He had cleaned out his locker and was carrying his stuff home so his mother wouldn't have to do it later. Kyle looked hard at me and gave me a big smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. Thanks, Jim. God often gets our attention by causing common or uncommon events to occur. They are His way of tapping us on the shoulder so we will sit up and listen. Refusing to answer our burning bush will not change the outcome. A burning bush today can be different things. A news flash on TV, an accident or illness, being laid off or fired from a job, a child caught up in addiction, an unfriendly neighbor, a brush with death, a broken relationship, a friend with wet pants, or a classmate who looks lonely. God speaks to us in different ways to get our attention, and He will use whatever it takes, even a scraggly, dried up old bush. By making excuses we don't have to do what God wants us to do, we are missing His message. But we're certainly in good company, for like Moses, we can think up all kinds of excuses when we know a call will upset our lives. It's easy to beg off by saying, I'm too busy, or I don't have the gift for that, or it's too risky, what will the neighbors think, or I've done that, so it's time for someone else to step up. Any of the excuses sound familiar? If we just answer our own burning bush, God can use us in awesome ways. Susie's burning bush was seeing the distress David was having over wet pants, and God supplied her with the idea of spilling the goldfish bowl. Jim's call came when he saw Kyle being mistreated by some bullies. God helped him make the decision to walk back, help the kid he didn't know. In the moment of crisis, God supplied them with what they needed. So it doesn't matter what God is calling us to do or to endure or what problem or difficulty we are facing. His promise is to be with us and to supply us with whatever we need. Just remember, failure does not disqualify us for being used by God. Like Moses learned, God uses broken things. And if we haven't heard from God for a while, that's probably okay. Moses spent a long time in exile hearing only the bleating of sheep before he heard the unmistakable voice calling from the burning bush. Moses' 40 years in the wilderness might be considered a metaphor for the events in our own lives. Periods when things are not going well or we feel like failures. But at every age and stage in life, God calls us to fulfill His mission. It's our job to pay attention to the quiet whispers in the still of the night or the nagging, nudging in our souls that tell us we're needed. So I suggest, look around for a burning bush. Listen for the instructions for the needed action or words. God is calling and has jobs for each of us. It may be something small, or it could be life-changing. As God's angels on earth, let's not turn away and miss His call. When God says, "You are my agent and I'm sending you," let's be ready to respond, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see the burning bushes you place in our paths. Open our ears to hear your voice as you give us directions and help us overcome our excuses in the knowledge that all we will need to get the job done, you will supply. Amen.